Well, morning, folks. If you're here at church in the marketplace, here in the auditorium or up in the gallery, and if you're listening to our podcast, then a special g'day to you. And we pray that as you listen in, that God will bless you these few moments that you spend with us. We're in the third week of a little series where we're looking at the big questions of life, the questions about life that affect our everyday lives, whether we realise it or not, questions about our existence and about our identity. We've been talking already about creation, what's our origin, where did we come from? We talked last week about our identity, what's our purpose, why are we here? And so this morning we're going to talk about our destiny, where are we going? I know many of us, we feel like our destiny, our eternal destiny, that's a long way off. Well, in fact, most of us, I guess, hope it's a long way off. Most of us don't want it to be tomorrow. It's like we've got a couple of boxes in our minds. Everything that has to be done today and eternity. And everything that has to be done today gets a lot more attention in our lives. We figure eternity will take care of itself. So one of the important things that I want us to take away this morning is that the way that we think about our destiny, it dramatically affects what happens in our lives today. More than we realise, the decisions that we make and the directions that we take every day of our lives, they're based on where we think we might be headed. So if we think our destiny is death and emptiness, and there's nothing for me beyond the here and now, that's going to affect the way we make decisions every day of our lives. And if instead our destiny is joy, if instead our destiny is God's love, if our destiny is God's goodness, that dramatically affects every day of our lives. So because our destiny affects now, we're going to dig into some of those things that Jesus had to say about our destiny. And as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord, we want to say thank you that you tell us there is more to life than we know and experience it now. But what we experience now, Lord, just seems to be so life-consuming that often we don't think about what you have prepared for those who love you. And so we pray as we look at what Jesus had to say to us, you would help us to be more aware that the life we live now is a small part of the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's interesting that there's a lot of interest in the afterlife. Books have been written, movies are coming out, often there by people who've had what we call a near-death experience. They talk about what happened, some vision that they've had. The Apostle Paul talked about a vision of heaven, John did too, and so it could be true for others. But it's not the best source of learning about the afterlife, what happens when we die. The best source is the person who came from heaven to tell us about what heaven is all about. Jesus said, "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned but the Son of Man," a name for Jesus, "who came down from heaven." Jesus came to tell us about it, so who better to listen to? Jesus didn't have a near-death experience. He had a raised from the dead after 3 days experience. So he's got something to say to us. And today I'm going to focus on just 4 things that he told us. The first one is that Jesus told us that we will live eternally. That's the way God made human beings. He made us to live. He made us to last. We don't live on this earth and then nothing or emptiness. He said, people live eternally. So the well-known verse, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So we start thinking of our lives in a different way when we realise that. Some of you, you are great planners. Like some of you have a 1-year plan. Some of you have a 5-year plan. The really good planners among you, they have a 10-year plan. I've known of people who have a 25-year plan, especially for your kids. You've got it all planned out for them. Good luck with that. But God has a plan for the human life he created for our lives that goes all the way into eternity. Jesus says, I want to give you eternal life. Even though there's been the fall and we face physical death, God has made us for eternity. Jesus talked about it in John 5, 28 and 29. He says some things that might make us scratch our head when we first hear them. Do not marvel at this, he said, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. What's he talking about? How can you have a resurrection of condemnation? Isn't resurrection always good? Well, the word resurrection simply means a physical body being resurrected. And Jesus is saying here we're made to live eternally to either a resurrection of life or a resurrection apart from him. We're going to spend eternity either with God or apart from God. That's what Jesus taught. Why two possibilities? Well, because God won't force us to love him on this earth, and he's not going to force us to love him in eternity. If we choose not to love him, we'll be separated from him. That's the nature of love. That's why G.K. Chesterton said, hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. Even in eternity, God is not going to force us to be with him. Jesus said, the first thing to realize about ourselves is we're going to live eternally. The second thing that Jesus taught about eternity is this. Heaven is more real than now. Now, if you're like me, that's a bit hard to see. I can talk about it, but it's hard for me to see that because I see now. Now feels real. I can touch it, I can feel it, I can taste it. Heaven is out there. I've never seen it. It doesn't feel real yet. When I look at heaven movies, they don't help much. Movies that depict heaven sometimes look boring and stale and empty and like there's nobody living there. Where's the millions of people? Remember Jesus when he was first resurrected. When Jesus died, his disciples felt like it was all over. They felt like there's no chance that this Christianity thing is ever going to get started. So for fear, they're hiding in an upper room. And Jesus appears to them and they couldn't believe it. It didn't seem real. At first they thought he was a ghost. That resurrected Jesus, not dead Jesus, they thought he wasn't real. So Jesus did something. Luke 24 says, and while they, the disciples, still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Why did Jesus do that? He wanted us to know that the resurrected body he had was a real body. Somehow the physical and the spiritual come together and our being in heaven, it's more material than we realize. And it's more spiritual than we realize, both at the same time, all at once. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. This body, it's a dying body. It doesn't have any upside. It's got a downhill direction. And I don't want to take this body into heaven. I don't want to take a dying body into eternity. God says he's going to transform this body into a body that is fit for eternity. So here's a question. How old am I going to be in heaven? How's that going to work? If we all had a vote, I reckon it would be somewhere in the 24, 25 zone, you know? That's the zone. I don't know how old we're going to be in heaven. The Bible doesn't answer that question, but however old, the body is perfect. If it's 15, I don't think we have pimples. If it's 80, I don't think we have wrinkles. It's a perfect body, whatever age it's going to be. And you know what? Not only is this body going to be glorified, but it's also going to be connected in a new way, the physical with our spirit. So the Bible talks about it, in that somehow the physical and the spiritual are connected in heaven in a way that we've never seen before. On this earth, our body, have you noticed it, doesn't always cooperate with our spirit. There are some times we think, I am never going to do that again, and we find our body doing it again. How does that happen? And there are some times when we think, this is what I want to do, and our body doesn't seem to have the strength to do it. In heaven, we'll be connected in a way like we've never been connected before. We're never going to do the things that we don't want to do, and we're going to be able to do everything our heart wants to do. That's what eternity is all about. That's the glorified body that Jesus talks about. But the Bible talks about more than us being glorified in heaven. All of God's creation will be glorified. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. So that picture of a dull, boring, cloudy, lifeless heaven, that's not the Bible's picture. Romans 8:21 says, the creation looks forward to the day when it would join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. New heaven, a new earth, perfect for eternity. That's the picture to have in mind when we think about heaven, a perfect place of perfect beauty for all eternity. So if you enjoy a beach on this earth, it's going to be a perfect beach for eternity. That's what God's creating when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. You enjoy surfing, it's a perfect wave every single time for all eternity. And you'll enjoy it every single time. If you enjoy the forest, it's a perfect one. Perfect sky, perfect beauty for all eternity. The beauty that only God can do. And the Bible says that God gives us work to do in eternity. It's not like we just sit around, all of us playing guitars and do nothing. That's not heaven. Heaven is doing creative things. If you're creative on this earth, it's not like that stops when we die and get our glorified body. You'll be perfectly creative in heaven. Now, I admit there are some jobs that won't be in heaven. Like there'll be no doctors in heaven because there's no sickness. So, sorry, Susan. Sorry, Alex. You're out of a job in heaven. No psychiatrists in heaven. There's no mental illness. Out of a job. There's no evangelists in heaven. Sorry, Bernie. Out of a job because everybody already has the good news. So there are some jobs that won't be there, but there will be an unbelievable number of creative jobs to do. The Bible also talks about perfect worship. We'll worship God forever perfectly. And honestly, that's hard for a lot of us to connect with. Because even on this earth, we're in a worship service and other people are singing around us and we're thinking, they're really into this, but I just don't feel like they do. And you're thinking, am I going to feel left out in heaven like everybody's enjoying worshiping and I'm not? No, we're all going to have hearts that enjoy worshiping God. And I think for most of us, there's been a moment or two on this planet where it may not have been at church, but you've connected with God maybe just for a few seconds in a way that felt like heaven opened up. You felt closer than you could imagine. You felt God's goodness. You felt God's greatness. Heaven is that and more. Heaven is more real than now. It's a place of perfect enjoyment. Everything that we enjoy, that God's given us to enjoy on this earth, it's going to be glorified. We'll enjoy it in multiplied ways in heaven. Every taste, every sight, every touch, every sound multiplied. That's our Christian hope. Sometimes we think about babies being born into this world and we think it's a tough world they're being born into. But when a baby's born, that is an eternal person. They're not just born into this world, but they're born into the world that we've just talked about. By faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to enjoy God's eternal heaven. As a parent, that's part of our job. Not just getting them ready for this world, but also helping them to get ready to enjoy all of eternity with God. With all that greatness, all this joy in heaven, you know what the number one question about the afterlife is? The number one question by far is, will there be pets in heaven? True. That's the number one question. And it's an important question, just as important to many of us as will there be mocha coffee in heaven? We've got to be able to get a good cup of coffee in heaven, right, to enjoy all the flavours and all the tastes and all the smells of what God has done. The point behind both of those is all the good things that we enjoy on this earth, are they going to be in heaven? Of course they are. Heaven is not less. Heaven is more. So whether it's a pet, a taste, a flavour or enjoyment or beauty, heaven is going to be more, multiplied more, unbelievably more than now. That's what heaven is all about. Now, some of you are wondering if I'm going to deal with this. Luke says, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are accounted worthy, who attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. This caused the unbeliever Mark Twain to say, Christians, I don't understand them. All of the joys of this earth, of all of them, the human being places sex above all other joys, and yet he's left it out of his heaven. How in the world can he do that? Might interest you to know that a small number of theologians over the years have believed that there's going to be sex in heaven, just no marriage. We're not going to debate this too much this morning. But the vast majority say what's going on here is that our relationships in heaven are going to be so much deeper and the joy so much greater that we don't need sex either for procreation or for intimacy. Which I know is absolutely unbelievable to some of us, I get that, but we're going to have to trust God that one, I reckon. But the principle is, with anything and everything, heaven is going not to be less. There's not going to be any loss. There's going to be more and it's going to be greater. The third thing that Jesus says is, he wants us to be with him in heaven. He wants to be with us in heaven and he wants us to be with him in heaven. Whenever we talk about the future, whenever we talk about the afterlife, heaven, it creates some doubts in us. As certain as we might feel we are, there's a little bit of uneasiness. The night before Jesus died, he was talking to his disciples and they had some uneasiness about the future, about where Jesus was headed and about what was going to happen. They thought he might be facing death. He'd been telling them about it and Jesus understood and he knew their uneasiness about the future. He understands ours. So even as we talk about all the joy right now, we might be feeling a little doubtful inside. So Jesus wants to give us some assurance, just like he gave them. That night, he looked his disciples in the eye. So if you can imagine Jesus looking you in the eye right now, he said these words. It's one of my favourite texts. It's out of John 14. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way where I'm going. It's like Jesus is giving us assurance. I want you to be there. I want you to be with me. I don't want you to be left out. I want you in. Imagine you had a friend come over and say, we're going on a holiday to Europe. You should come with us. You might think that's nice. But if that friend said, I want you to come with me, and they gave you an itinerary and it had your name on it for all the hotels and all the food you'd be eating, and they brought you an airline ticket and they bugged you every day and said, I really want you to come with me, you'd know they really wanted you to come. That's what Jesus did. He paid the ticket. He paid the price. That's what the cross is. Jesus died on the cross to say, I want you to be with me in heaven. Folks, I can't stand in God's presence in heaven. My goodness isn't going to get me in. It's kind of like the video clip we watched at the beginning. We can compare our goodness with one another. You might feel like you're better than me. That wouldn't be hard. I might feel like I'm better than somebody else. But that's just a comparing of goodness. But to stand in the presence of God, how can I stand in God's presence, a perfect God and a perfect heaven? I don't qualify. Jesus says, I'll qualify you. I'll give you my ticket. I give my life for you. I want to offer my life to you so you can spend eternity in heaven. Now, you might have a question about what I read at the end of that statement just now. Jesus said at the end, Jesus at the end says, you know the way where I am going. You might have a question about that. One of his disciples did that first night. Instead of pretending that he knew it all, like we do a lot of the times, he was the guy in the room who was willing to say, I don't get it. Remember Thomas, the disciple, said, Lord, no, we don't know. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? And I'm glad that he asked that question, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You know what Jesus is saying here? He says, I want you to be with me, and I've made a way for you to be with me, and I want to show you the way for you to be with me. So if you're worried about flunking the test on your destiny at the end, Jesus is making this the greatest open book test in all of history. He's showing us the way. Absolutely. He wants there to be no doubt about it. I want you there with me. That's what Jesus teaches us about heaven. And he teaches us a fourth thing. He not only wants to be with you, but number four, he wants to reward us with heaven. The Bible talks a lot about the rewards of heaven. Jesus talks a lot about the rewards he wants to give us for an eternity in heaven. One of the places he talks about it is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. It says, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust can't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Jesus wants heaven to be a reward for us. He's not like a miser up there thinking, I don't want to give them anything. He's saying, here's how to do it so you can enjoy the greatest reward for eternity. And one of the ways, he said, is what we do on this earth, the way we invest towards eternity on this earth. The way we invest our time, the way we invest our talent, the way we invest our resources, what we have towards eternity. We talked a bit about it last week when we talked about our purpose and our calling. As we do that, Jesus said it's like we're storing up treasure that is going to last forever. One of the greatest treasures is people in eternity who will greet us there and will be with us there because we invested in their lives through our time here on earth. You may have even invested in their lives through something material like money. But you've used it to love people. You've used it to serve people. Jesus talked about that. He told a whole story about it once. And then at the end of the story in Luke 16, he says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Jesus is saying that the most important question about our legacy isn't, will people remember me after I've gone? That's not the most important question. The most important question is, will there be anybody there to greet me when I get there? Because that's the part that's going to last forever. A legacy on this earth, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But a legacy in eternity, that's the treasure that's going to last forever. And Jesus says, I want to reward you with heaven. He taught us that often what seems like a loss on this earth, something we don't get, actually becomes a reward in heaven. We think of rewards just as attached to victories that we have here on earth. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to reward you also for things that you gave up because you had character and you had integrity. We look at this world and we sort of figure things out. Sometimes it seems that people who cheat and do wrong, they get more, and the people who do the right thing, they get less, and that doesn't seem fair at all. If this world were all there was, it wouldn't be fair. But it's not. In eternity, it's going to be totally shifted, totally different, and a lot of things that we've given up or lost because we had faith or we had integrity or we did the right thing, Jesus says, I'm going to reward that for all eternity. So Matthew 19 says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. rewards for eternity. Even in some of the losses, even in some of the struggles and the way we go through those struggles, heaven is a place of hope. It caused me to think about rewards of heaven for some of you who are struggling with a mental illness, for example. Issues in your heart or issues in your mind, struggles within yourself. And you look at yourself and you think, what kind of rewards could I possibly have in heaven? There are people who have victories and they're doing these great things. I barely make it through a day. I barely make it to a place of hope. I'm going to have no reward in heaven. And friends, that's just wrong. Jesus said, many who are first will be last and many who are last will be first. There's some of us, it's easy for us to have courage. We were taught to have courage all of our lives. We have a great support system. Some of us, just trying to have courage takes greater courage than I'm ever going to have. Do you think God will reward that in eternity? I do. Some of you, it's not like you get up every day and you're ready to live and have a great new day. You get up every day and you wonder if you're going to want to live today. And for you, just to choose to live one more day, to have faith that God has a purpose for your life, even though you don't feel like it today, that's a choice God is going to reward for all eternity. Many who are first will be last and last will be first. The greatest rewards in heaven are not going to be for the people who preach and sing up the front of people. Oh, there'll be rewards for them. Everybody's going to have the reward of heaven, more than we can imagine. But that's not the greatest reward. The greatest rewards in heaven are going to be for people who are lonely and separate and unnoticed and feeling every day like your life doesn't count for much and wondering whether you really should live. But instead of listening to those thoughts, you decide, I'm going to trust God one more day. I'm going to live today. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to trust God today. I'm going to serve other people today. That will be rewarded forever. I want to say one of our greatest joys in heaven is going to be watching you get rewarded for that for all eternity. That's the rewards that we're talking about. That's the heaven that we're talking about, rewards for all who trust Him. Now, there are just two things that you and I can do today. Jesus said, we can be certain about our destiny, about our eternal life, about our place in heaven. We can settle it now. And the second thing we can do is we can set our minds on that destiny. And we can let it start to fill our thoughts so that it transforms the way that we live. So as we prepare to do those two things, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Folks, if you want to settle your destiny, would you just say this simple prayer? Father, I don't want to have any more doubts about eternity. You told me to trust in you, Jesus, and so I do. I trust your forgiveness and I trust your gift of life. This doesn't seem like enough to change my eternity, but I know it's not my prayer that's changing. It's my trust in what you did for me. And so I trust you, Jesus. And now, Jesus, all of us together, we set our mind and we set our hope on the eternity of hope that you have for us. Help us, we pray, to live radically different lives now, today, because you have given us the hope of eternity. Make us different people, stronger faith, greater love, reserves of hope, because what you have given us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.